Hello, and welcome back to Motifs Between the Notes podcast, where we invite Rhode Island musicians to perform their original music and then sit down for a discussion about it with our host. Let's begin.
My name is Cody Nilsson. This song is called Living Is Killing Me. Thank you.
for one. That's when I knew the heartache just begun. Her eyes are wide and she began to run.
This song's called Taking All My Money Away.
Becomes a mile, then you've got a snake in your wood pile. taking money away. When it's gone so long, scooped up by strangers on. When it's gone so long, scooped up by
Thank you. Here's a song called Drive Too Slow.
She wants to go fast, but I drive too slow. She was born in the passing lane, she don't even know. She's a highway child, a rolling stone. Something.
Thank you. Song's called Gasoline Suit. That's a new one. All right, I got one more. All right. Once again, my name's Cody Nilsson. Thank you guys very much. This song's called Sweetheart of the Hurtin' Kind. Time we
you slip away.
Welcome back to Motifs Between the Notes, sponsored by Mixed Magic Theater, Trinity Brew House, and Mother Earth Wellness. I'm Tess Lyons, here at the Parlor with Cody Nielsen, who just put on an amazing performance. How are you feeling today?
I feel good. Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. So let's start off simple. When did you first pick up a guitar? When did your music career or journey start?
I would say 12-ish years old. Yeah. Like any other kid, I was into a million things at once, and guitar kind of entered my life after I had a leg injury. I was kind of
in bed. What am I going to do?
It was one of those. Yeah, one of those. So I was kind of immobilized for an extended period of time. So that's when the guitar thing came into purview, I guess.
Was the music your medicine?
Yeah.
Did I take the words out of your mouth?
The music was my medicine. Thank you, weed.
Thank you. Did you start off with an acoustic guitar? How long did it take you to kind of find your sound with it?
Oh, I'm still trying to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I grew up with blues music, and then it was punk rock, and then it was country, and now I'm like reverting back to punk rock. It's like, It's like cyclical, you know, like finding my sound, I guess, is an ongoing process, you know.
Are you a born and raised New Englander?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned your sound. How do you think being a New Englander has impacted that?
Well, I feel like if I was born in, you know, the South or the Midwest or something, I feel like those places are kind of home to like a sound. Like if I was a Chicago person, blues would be more present. If I was a Nashville person, country would be more present. So growing up here, you have to seek out different sounds than what's on the radio in front of you, or like whatever your parents listen to. I was lucky that my parents kind of had like a wide variety of music. They're music lovers. They don't really play music, but music
they
lovers.
They appreciate it.
Yes.
Now, you're fresh off a European tour.
True.
Can you tell me a bit more about that? Where'd you go?
We went to Spain for 2.5 weeks, and then we went to Sweden for about 3 weeks. So
I hear it's dark there.
It's dark most of the day.
How'd you get through? The music?
The music.
The medicine.
The music was my medicine. There wasn't a lot of sunlight, but people came to the shows and people were cool. So we'll drive however long it takes to get there. There are people in the room. So yeah, it was good.
Was that your first European tour?
No, that was
like six or seven.
With you toured with Ward Haydon and the Outliers.
Correct.
Was that all with Ward Haydon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
what was the highlight of that tour?
Oh, I mean, Stockholm was a great show. Falkenberg. The agents that we use over there, are the promoters, are Rootsy Music is what they're called, and they're really kind. And yeah, it was a good time. It was nice. A good time. Like, all the shows were great, you know. Just a lot of driving, not a lot of sleeping, mm-hmm. but it was worth it. It was good. It was a good time.
Now, you're moving more towards being a solo artist, but mm-hmm. you were with Ward Haydon and the Outliers for how many years?
Seven. Okay. Seven, give or take, yeah.
Okay. How is that balancing wanting to be more solo and still being in the band?
You know, it's difficult to do a million things at once. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in that band has always been very supportive of me doing my own shit. And, you know, they're all supportive of me moving in a direction that I feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all great friends. So it's been all good.
It's all good.
Yes.
Thank you, Ward Haydon.
Thank you, Ward Haydon.
Yeah. So a lot of the songs that you sang tonight were from your 2022 album, Living is Killing Cody Nilsson.
True.
You have an upcoming album that's coming out soon.
I do.
That's called Benchwarmer.
Yes.
How do the two albums differ, and how is creating them different? Or the same.
Yeah, they were both done at 37 Foot Productions in Rockland, Mass. with Sean McLaughlin, who is my kind of studio sensei, I guess. I do a lot of session work for him. So when it was time to do another record, that was the home for me.
Yeah, he was the guy.
Yeah, and it's a bit more of a rocker record, I guess. Tim Brennan from Dropkick Murphys produced it. So it was great to kind of spend time with him and, you know, explore the songs and approach things differently, because his ear and my ear are totally different. Like, I would expect to do something one way, and he would have a very opposite instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, his instinct is the right one. So it's good to have someone you trust to kind of take the wheel for a minute, as opposed to just ruling over everything, because if you don't listen to other people, it's you know, not gonna reach its full potential, I think. Yeah, for me anyway.
For you. Yeah. What do you want to be different about this album?
I want more people to hear it.
That would be nice.
That's first and foremost. I want more people to hear it. The goal with any song I write is to just connect with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... That's the only real goal. I'm just talking about stuff that I'm feeling. And I like to think that my feelings are shared with other people. That's the only real goal, is to connect with people by mm-hmm. writing songs, you know.
What's your songwriting process like? Do you keep that in mind to trying to connect with people?
The process is kind of all over the place. It's whether it's a melody first, or a line that I like the sound of, or a chord progression or something like that. You know, there's no specific order, but certain things kind of spark inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if it's a real strong feeling, then I'll lean into it. Like, my logo is a check engine light, because nobody wants to see a check engine.
No.
But like, you know, so.
And then you pretend not to see
it. Yeah. My dad would put duct tape over it. Like, it's one of those things that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And like, by me choosing that, I thought it would connect with people. Who would ever see that? I was like, I hate that thing, but that's a cool
Especially
sticker.
Being in New England, where your car is just.
All the time. Oh. All the time. So that was, to connect with as many people honestly and, you know, truthfully, mm-hmm. is all I want to do with the songs, yeah.
And you've worked with Tim Brennan before mm-hmm. as tech crew for the Dropkick Murphys. How is that working with him in a different environment?
I mean, those dudes are playing to thousands and thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that gig, me working on like banjos and mandolins and bouzoukis and acoustic guitars and all this stuff, it's a very high pressure job for me, because I'm handing the banjo to the guy who's playing shipping up to Boston. Like, that's my job. So, like, the pressure is very real and palpable. Mm-hmm. You can feel it, especially with thousands of people around. But
and there is a rowdy crowd.
It is. And, like, those dudes are all so kind and calm and, like, they're, like, pros. They treat me unbelievably well. So, like, for Tim to agree to want to even listen to my music, let alone help me work on it, was, like, an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're the shit. Like, they're great.
Who do you take inspiration from, or what kind of music do you take inspiration from? If you could sound like one major musician, who would it be? Yourself.
I don't know. There's, you know, I'm always beautiful. Trying to listen. I'm always trying to listen to as many songwriters and bands, I guess. I'm a huge James McMurtry fan. Rye Cooter's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think George Jones is, like, the greatest singer of all time. Sarah Jarosz just came out with a new record that I think is genius. So it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
It never ends, you know. But, yeah, I don't know who I would want to...
To sound... You want to sound like yourself.
Yeah, I want to...
I think that's enough.
You know, it's music is my medicine.
Music is my medicine. Take a shot every time you say that. You'll be drunk soon. How do you think the Rhode Island music scene, you've traveled a lot, either mm-hmm. working tech crew or being on tour, how do you think the Rhode Island music scene compares to other music scenes that you've seen? Said seen a lot there.
So, prior to moving to Providence, I lived in Boston my whole adult life.
Mm-hmm.
Alston, Jamaica Plain, Brookline, Alston again, Jamaica Plain again, like whatever, Brighton, mm-hmm. whatever. As soon as I moved out of Boston and moved here, I found that this is like an extremely inclusive scene. It's supportive of everybody. Other musicians support other musicians. The venues are cool to musicians.
It, like, doesn't matter your genre.
No. And the city itself is kind of lending itself to, you know, art in a way that I'm like so thrilled that I chose Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never felt more like wanted or welcomed and like so stoked to like support other people. I go to shows.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, Providence is a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's small but mighty.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you were working with Ward Hayden and the ALIRs, how did you balance the two worlds of wanting to create your own music?
It was a delicate balance, and it's a delicate balance creating with anybody, whether you're writing with people or playing with people, because there's four different lives,
mm-hmm.
like, kind of doing it. Like I said before, anything I ever wrote or showed them or played for them, it was all support. It was mm-hmm. all great. It's, you know, the balance kind of comes when, if you want to book your own stuff and there's gigs that come up for a band that you're in,
mm-hmm.
the priority needs to be the band.
Yeah.
You know, and that... I'm so thankful to have been with that crew for so long.
For such a long
time. Yeah. Okay. It's just now with the songwriting that I'm doing, it's kind of taking precedence with, like, what mm-hmm. I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the tough decision was made for me to kind of bet on myself mm-hmm. fully.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of...
Take the leap.
Yeah. Which was not... It was not a fun... thing.
It's not easy when you have that security.
Yeah, and everybody in that crew was great.
Yeah.
You know, so for me to kind of break up with, like, my three of my best friends.
Yeah.
Who are still, you know, they're still...
Still homies.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no change in that. But it was, betting on yourself is hard and sad sometimes, but it's worth doing that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I did it, so here we are.
Here we are on Between the Notes.
You're watching Between the Notes.
Where music is medicine. That leads me to my next question. What's next for you besides the album? And what can we expect with the album?
The album is kind of the songs, I'm very proud of them. And it's me telling as much of my truth as you can. They're about me, and they're about my life, and they're about my family, and they're about, you know, everything from like me getting sober to like me growing up in a working class family in New England. Like, you know, cause like my struggles are different than somebody else's, but it's just it's about trying to paint the picture of what being me is, I guess. Cause I can't really pretend to be somebody else. So I might as well lean in to that. You know, it's 10 songs. And, I played pedal steel, guitar, vocals, Tim Brennan on guitar, accordion, all the keys, Jeremy Moses Curtis, another Rhode Islander, on bass.
We love Rhodey.
Yes, and Josh Kiggins on drums from Ward Haden and the Outliers as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a really strong band, and it's a good record. I'm proud.
When can we expect that coming out?
I would say a realistic expectation is September.
September.
Yes.
Okay. So you, before we got a little snippet, a little taste of what that album's going to look like tonight.
Yeah.
You very graciously let us hear some of it. So tell me a bit about that song that you sang.
That is the first song on the record, in the order. That's the first one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm a big baseball fan.
Okay.
And there's a famous Pete Rose line where he's like, I would walk through hell in a gasoline suit to play baseball or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where I read it, but the term gasoline suit and like crawling through hell in that just kind of really inspired the sounds of the guitars on the song, the beat of the song, the tempo of the song, like the lyric. Like everything kind of was inspired by like the gasoline suit image to me. Like what it means to crawl through hell in a gasoline suit.
Right.
You know, it's like nothing will stop me from doing that.
Yeah.
So
you visualize what the song was going to be.
Yeah. So like a line like that is how some songs are born. Like if I read something where it's like, oh wow, this is a wild idea, that can inspire a tune. So
okay.
Yeah. Anything you think of gasoline suit, that's the sound of the song.
It's giving gasoline
suit. It's giving gasoline suit. loud, rock and roll, big.
Before you played it, you asked, do we want country or rock? Is there a mixture of both in this?
The record is, it's the loudest record I've ever done, because it's the second one. But
of the two.
It has higher highs, it has lower lows, it has... The lyrics are something I'm very proud of, and it truly tells the story of like what it was like for me in my life so far. So there's plenty more where that came from, I guess.
Third album.
That's right. Who knows? Maybe there's already one being recorded.
Oh, who knows?
I don't know.
And where can people find more of your music and more info about the upcoming album and tours?
CodyNilsen.com, CodyNilsen.com.
It's not Toby.
It ain't Toby.
Don't even try it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, you name it.
Yeah.
I'm there.
He's there.
He's there.
He's there.
I'm there.
Cody is also nominated for a Motif Music Award.
It's true.
So you can vote for him on our website as well, if you like.
Please
If you liked what you heard. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being
on the podcast today.
And thank you again to our sponsors. We have Mix Magic Theater, Trinity Brew House, and Mother Earth Wellness. Thank you to The Parlor again. And we're Motif Magazine with Between the Notes. And we'll see you next time.